about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Rince, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for at least the next hour on this October the 15th, still on the West Coast, and now October the 16th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. So nice to have you here with us tonight. I have a guest scheduled. For whatever reason, we're having trouble making contact. The reason is not on our end, I must say. It's on the other end, so we might get lucky. However, the show must go on, and it will go on. Plenty to talk about tonight, and I may have some surprises. Who knows? We might listen to some music tonight or just talk about things in general that are going on. It's time for something uplifting, an uplifting message, and something that's still dealing with the truth. And as you try to make sense out of the madness that's going on around the country and in other parts of the world, you may get disheartened from time to time. I'm talking to a lot of people that go through stages of extreme exhilaration and then moments of despair and concern about our future. Life has always been that way on this planet for the last 13,000 years, maybe even longer. If you go back millions of years, we seem to not get it right, that after millions of years of existence on this planet, mankind can't seem to figure out that peace and love might be the answer. Instead, it's money. It's money for the banks. It's wars. It's the money made through the killing of people and the starving of people, the oppression of people, the enslavement of people. And that's not a very positive message when you consider that there are probably millions of civilizations throughout the universe that are much more advanced than we are. And our leaders, and they're not people that we have chosen. They're people that would like us to think that we've chosen them, are out of touch. Obviously, you know, all we have to do is look at what they do, and we can tell that they haven't figured it out. They figured their own game out. You can only play Monopoly for so long, and it gets boring when you get all the houses and all the money, and you pass jail, and you still collect the $200. They don't even follow Monopoly rules in general, so it's maybe not the best example, but they're certainly using the court system, the legal system, in other words, and the banking system to oppress humanity here in the United States. And those of you listening in foreign countries, I'm sure you've been through it yourselves. I've been to many foreign countries and made many friends wherever I've gone. And the general gripes wherever you go in the world is that the governments are very oppressive. Yet it's not the mainstream people that you meet, the everyday working man and woman, or student, or even the elderly people. They're people that have a culture, a history, they have hearts, they have spirit, and what they reflect is much like what we know here in America amongst our friends. And I find it quite ironic that our leaders are not supposed to be our enemies. And they treat us, when we voice our disapproval of that fact, they treat us like we're unruly servants. We're unruly slaves or unruly serfs. Well, that time has to end, and that time is soon going to end on this planet. If you're to hope for anything good, keep that foremost in your mind, is that this insanity cannot go on forever. And the fact that things are falling apart as they are, and that the best two candidates that they can come up with for the presidency of the United States are John McCain and Barack Obama, neither of whom are even Americans, is a perfect reflection of how bad their situation is. Now, this is something that they would force upon us. If we accept it, then we're condoning it. And so you must ask yourself, is this something I'm going to condone? And this isn't unpatriotic talk at all. This is actually a talk that's inspired by what's written in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And the rights, in and of themselves, that a document has to be written to give us those rights. When God gives us the privilege of life, he gives all living things that privilege. When God gives us that privilege, where does man fit in? Where does man have the audacity to supersede God's laws and God's creation? And yet that's where we find ourselves today. We find ourselves in a quagmire or a cesspool of rules that are broken by those who make them and are designed to oppress those who are expected to abide by them. Now, I don't really want to get into discussing politics other than if you give your life some consideration in light of the fact that one day you're feeling very happy with things, and the next day you can feel intuitively that something is wrong. And it's maybe not even in the weather, but it seems like whenever the weather's bad, the news is bad along with it. It's as if the weather is actually mirroring our true feelings. It's mirroring what is going on, and it's nature's way of showing us. Maybe it's God crying when we get rain. Maybe that's really the bottom line, what's going on. Even though the earth does need water, certainly we don't need towns to be flooded out and a government that's totally irresponsible and does nothing to help those people. In fact, created the weather that created the flooding. It's just insanity, and it's got to stop. And we have to come to a realization individually and then collectively that we can change things. We can create something new. I've been having some conversations with people off and on for the last couple of weeks, with some more than others, about this very issue. This issue of taking responsibility. This issue of caring. Caring not for the sake of how much money you have in your bank account or what you have, which is new, and how are you going to hold on to your physical possessions. There's a lot more to be concerned with in life than how much money you have in the bank. In fact, it doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank when it all becomes worthless. You're either going to have a lot of worthless money or a little worthless money or no worthless money. That's the nature of the game that's been played upon us. And people are starting to wake up little by little. More people are realizing that there's something much more profound in this game of life. There's something other than what's being acted out here on planet Earth. Imagine living on a planet where there's peace and where there's abundance and where there's health and where there's camaraderie, where there's love, where there are people that help one another accomplish things, where the elderly take care of the young, mostly because those that produce the young are too young to know the proper way to take care of them. And so these other societies, I'm sure they exist without a doubt. These societies that exist on other planets have gone through many of the same things that we're going through right now. And we can write books until we're blue in the face, and as long as we don't read them and rely on the illusions that are presented to us nonstop, 24/7, we won't discover who we are. We won't discover the reality of what our true potential is, what our creativity can provide. The wonderment of discovering who you are and then sharing that with others. And I say sharing it because it's not something to be forced upon another. These words I'm speaking right now are my way of sharing how I feel. And maybe I'm touching upon some topics that you think about that affect you. Maybe not. We have people that think that their vote counts. And it's important to know that they have chosen the best candidate. But no one can give me any valid reasons for voting for either of the two people that we have on the basis of what I know about those two people. The prime consideration that neither one is even an American. That neither one could prove beyond a reasonable doubt that they were born in this country. So they have no right to be leaders. But those who pull the strings and that those who control the game don't have a problem with that because their intent is to take over this country. And the ignorance of everyone supporting these two individuals is going to make that possible. So that's how it is in the United States. Don't have to believe me. Why did Phil Berg file a lawsuit to force Barack Obama to produce a birth certificate? Why are they not paying attention to the fact that John McCain couldn't have been born in a place, in a hospital, that didn't exist? That one fact alone points to the lie that he's an American. We have bought illusion to the point to where common sense doesn't even matter. In fact, I dislike the word common sense because common means attributable to the majority. And if common sense is that kind of sense, I don't want to have it. I prefer not to have it. Now, I would like to have uncommon sense. I would like to have uncommon reasoning abilities. Or uncommon spiritual discernment. What is common is found everywhere. And it doesn't make it the best because it's common. Now, if we were talking about love, and we were talking about love being everywhere, and that it was a common trait amongst human beings, we wouldn't even have the situation we have today, and I wouldn't even have to be talking about this. I probably wouldn't have a radio show that talks about corruption and deception and the untruths and the darkness that's pervaded over this planet for 13,000 years. I could just make it a music show. Or whatever else I choose that I feel is positive and would contribute something worthwhile. To people. Not that this isn't worthwhile, but it's not what the average person would choose to engage in, to listen to someone talk about issues that many are so afraid to face that they're in total denial. And those of you who are awake and talk to your friends about things that you know are going on in the government, things going on in your state or in your local community, you can tell within 30 seconds of the conversation if they're going to even pay attention. You can look in their eyes, and if they glass over, you know that the fluorides have kicked in and their mind is closed. So you're wasting your time talking about those things. Now, everybody has the prerogative to decide that they don't want to listen to those things, but because you decide not to listen doesn't mean that the problems aren't there and that they require solutions. Everyone has become so apathetic and so ignorant of what's going on, and like everything else, they expect someone else to do it for them. It's like the people on welfare. Let the people that have jobs pay the money. I certainly think there would be a better use for tax dollars than giving them to people that are too lazy to do anything but be on drugs and drink and beat their spouses and their children and then hold their hand out wanting help and not giving anything in return. But we have a society that has made people dependent upon that because eventually, you make everyone dependent upon that. There's only so much giving that a person can do before it's time for them to start taking. And there's only so much taking that those who are doing the taking can engage in until there's nothing left to take. But they don't get that message. Somehow they don't. It doesn't connect. And still, we turn a blind eye and say, well, that doesn't affect me. That doesn't affect me, so what should I think about the people that don't care to know what's really going on? Should I feel guilty about them, about not getting my message to them? Well, I think if I were to look at the lives of any great prophet, say Jesus Christ, for example, Jesus went about his mission and took care of business. And what he did and what has been reported about what he did are probably two very different things. But I would presume that in the plan that he came with, to spread a message of peace and love around the world, a message of enlightenment and empowerment, and empowerment by pointing us back to God, showing us where the source is. That message has been distorted millions and millions of times over the past 2,000 years, probably billions of times or trillions of times. Doesn't really matter. It's gone so far away from what his message was. And there have been other prophets through the ages that have had messages. There are those that will say, well, Christ's message was the only valid one. Well, if these prophets were sent by God, who are we to make that judgment? Does that invalidate anyone that was here with a message of truth before Christ came here? Or anyone that comes with a message of truth after Christ has been here? I don't think so. But I may be alone in my thinking. I may truly be alone in my thinking. Now, where are we headed as a society in America? And where is the world headed? Because so much of the world depends upon us in America. They really depend upon us doing the right things. And we have people that are totally ignorant of what's going on. This banking crisis is going to put things in a very uncomfortable place for a lot of people because people are expecting to be able to earn a living. That's being taken away from us. And people are allowing it. Oh, it's not affecting me right now. I'm fine. Look what happens with the banks. And I've been telling the listening audience to watch that there are going to be a few banks you're going to notice in a very short time that are going to fold. You're going to see the federal government move in to take control of those banks. because we're facing a fascist, communist plot to take over the world, despite what they tell us, because it's based upon lies. It's all about lies. And they can look you straight in the face or look the camera straight in the face and lie, because that's all they know how to do. That's all they've been doing. So there's no reason for them to start telling the truth. And it doesn't matter if it's about the banks or if it's about the mortgage industry or about the food or it's about health care or pedophiles, the abduction of children, the selling of children and women into sex slave industry, the lies about where government money is going or what it's being applied to, the lies about whether or not there are underground bases or underground tunnels or genetics programs and with horrific experiments being perpetrated on these children. It doesn't matter, or if it's about outer space, it doesn't matter what the topic is. They lie about everything. And they know they lie. But they just keep lying, and they have a media that lies along with them. And even though people know they lie, they have to get their hypnotic fix. They have to sit in front of the TV hour after hour watching these mindless programs. And they're being programmed. That's why they call them programs. That's why I refuse to call Evident Footprints a radio program. It's a radio show. I'm showing you things. I'm not interested in programming anyone. There's enough of that going on. If anything, I'm interested in liberating you from being programmed. So when we're talking about our consciousness and we're talking about, I feel great today, why do I feel lousy today? This is going to happen. Did you hear what they're going to do? They're going to implant us. They're going to cause a pandemic. They're going to put us in the concentration camps. Planet X is on the way. We hear this stuff nonstop, at least on the internet we hear it. These are the things they won't talk about. And I listened to a guy from the FBI tonight, all of 2 minutes that I tuned into Glenn Beck's program. He's interviewing a guy from the FBI, and this guy makes some statement that everybody on the internet, everybody that talks on internet radio, and there are mainstream programs on internet radio, so I don't know why they're singling out the people on the internet. But the thing is, the truth is coming out on the internet. And they're trying to downplay everything that's being covered up, everything that's being lied about. We don't make these accusations, at least on this show, we don't make the accusations without the proof. Without going down the trail, turning over the stones, digging holes underneath where the stones are lying to look for the clues and the evidence. And we see, constantly, we see something going on that's not reported in the mainstream media. Yet, after all this reporting we do, after all this research we do for the benefit of our listening audience, and we even make predictions about what's going to happen, when it does happen, they spin the story on the mainstream. Is it not surprising to you that if we talk about financial corruption for 2 years on internet radio, and all of a sudden the banks, which have not been reported about on television or radio in mainstream, all of a sudden the banks are being bailed out to the tune of over $1 trillion. Is it not ironic that happened? Why is it so difficult for people to understand that? Well, if it was really happening, it would be on TV. Yeah, like Dancing with the Stars, that's really happening. Or American Idol, that's really happening. Or Cops, like we talked about last night. Yeah, you got cops beating people up and violating people's civil rights. But because it's on a TV show and it's on 5 nights a week and on the weekends, it's acceptable. And it's not just on one network. They've got other networks doing the reruns of the stuff. They make sure they get this everywhere. They've got your Saturdays and Sundays are filled with sports shows. And in the interim, when they're not on, they've got commercials. They want you to spend money on useless products. They've invented more vacuum cleaners in the last 10 years, and still they haven't made one that picks up dirt off the floor. They can make it do it on TV, but it doesn't do it in real life. That's the reality. TV is the reality. Now they have polls. Barack Obama's ahead. We got a guy that can't prove he's an American, lying to us from the get-go about where he's from, probably doesn't even have papers. I've got a dog that's got AKC papers. I can prove where my dog was born, and we got a guy running for president, can't prove where he's from. I guess it's, you know, that it's where we put our priorities. Papers for a dog are important if you're showing your dog, you know, at the Westminster show where they have all these cute little dogs parading around an arena for a whole week. That's important. Or you have to have papers so you can get a tag for your dog, because you have to be licensed to have an animal, a creature of nature. You have to be licensed for that. These people rob banks for billions of dollars a pop and should have their licenses revoked. But what happens? We bail them out. And you're not fed up with that? You don't think anything is wrong with that? Oh, the next guy will fix it because I have a vote. Even though there's rampant voting corruption, people have gone to prison. Few, not nearly enough, because it goes all the way to the top. You got to get the politicians out of there, because they're as much a part of it as anybody. Because they allow the lobbyists from foreign companies, foreign countries and foreign companies to come in and count our votes. What business does Israel have guarding our nuclear power plants, guarding our bases, guarding our prisons? What business? And what business do they have counting our votes? And ever since they've had electronic voting, it's been more corrupt than the Hanging Chad days of Florida. I read an article and saw a video on YouTube. Don't have the information on hand other than to relate this story to you. But there was a guy that worked for one of these companies that had these voting machines in Florida, these electronic voting machines. And he was told to, or they were told, the workers at the polling places were told to put the paper out of skew, meaning that it wouldn't be aligned properly to pass through the printer correctly. So as a person cast their vote, it would cause problems with the paper. The paper would develop what's called a hanging chad. And so there would be a dispute about the vote. In fact, it would be such a horrible problem that they would either discount the ballot or give it to whoever they chose to give the vote to. And you had two elections stolen in 2000 and 2004. And I don't care if Al Gore was the candidate or John Kerry, that doesn't matter. It was corrupt. And I'm not saying it would have been any less corrupt with Al Gore or John Kerry in there, because they're all cut from the same cloth. That's the thing people don't see, is you buy into one illusion, you overcome another, and you go back to the first one again. Or vice versa. In fact, it's all a bunch of illusions. And I'm reminded about Mayor Daley in Chicago. And I'm speaking about the senior Mayor Daley. When he died and they got access to certain warehouses in Chicago, they found stacks and stacks of boxes that had switched ballots in them, stuffed ballots. Just for sake of argument, let's say a voting district had 100,000 voters maximum if they all voted. And maybe only 58% of the voters actually went out and voted, but they had 135,000 ballots in that box. And common sense dictates that probably all 135,000 of those votes should be disqualified. Certainly, mankind, in his ingenuity and his ability to travel to other planets and develop all kinds of technology to bring down skyscrapers in a matter of seconds and turn them to powder, certainly they could come up with an honest way to vote. But that's not the intention, and it never was. But to mind control you into believing that your vote actually counts, that you have a voice, even though when you're voting for this person and this person gets into office, if it happens to be who you voted for, the same corruption is rampant. The same money gets stolen. And it's only once in a while something comes out where they make an example of someone because for some reason they didn't play ball. They made it more difficult than they would have liked to pull off another scam. So they get rid of that person. That person either has an accident in a plane in midair, their plane explodes in midair, or they crash upon landing or upon takeoff. And it's usually based upon what they know and who they're going to testify against. It's quite obvious what's done, but no one ever does anything about it. But they'll spend millions of dollars framing a scapegoat in the courts to hide the fact that somebody else or a whole group of people were involved in a scandal or in a murder. Imagine if the soldiers coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan were allowed to tell us the truth. And some are, although their efforts get suppressed pretty rapidly. I read something where a guy was told he has a normal amount of uranium poisoning in his system. Guy came back from Iraq. He was concerned. He had problems, health problems. He was told he had a normal amount of uranium poisoning. There is actually a normal amount of radium, uranium poisoning. It's unimaginable that people come up with these cockamamie stories. This is the Center for Disease Control or the American Medical Association or the Veterans Administration telling people these lies. We're led to believe that no amount of radiation exposure is normal or radiation poisoning. That it's not natural, that it's not normal to have that. Yet this is the lie that they're telling the soldiers, that go there risking their lives so the rich can get richer while they murder millions of people and create refugees out of millions more. And while they steal their possessions and their bank accounts, and their history and their culture. It's amazing the depravity of the human species. Then we get into, you know, are these even humans doing this to the humans? And I really can't imagine God creating creatures that are so far away from the norm of what he created, that they can wantonly murder people, that they can plan on murdering people, population reduction, and I've submitted many times, and I submit it again right now. Let them be the first to volunteer. If we need fewer people on the planet, then let them get in line first. And then put their followers right after them, because they deserve it. We don't have any leaders anymore. We're not capable of producing leaders. And we're not capable of even producing decent followers. Those people don't even want to follow anymore. They'd rather just sit on their butts on their couch with a bag of potato chips and a six-pack of beer and just be hypnotized for a few hours till they get up tomorrow and do the same thing over and over again. Now, that's the downside of life on this planet. That's the downside. Now, where's the planet headed? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. I think it's time for a short break, and we'll come back and we'll discuss some of this. You're listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff. And I'll be right back, so don't go away.
The Idaho Observer, a monthly 24-page newspaper in its ninth year of addressing issues that affect all freedom-loving Americans, is one of the few remaining newspapers courageous enough to print the truth. Concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you? Subscribe today. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues, the Idaho Observer prints what you need to know to be a fully informed American. Go to Idaho-Observer.com or call 208-255-2307.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
This real nice campfire. Now all we need is the radio. Go get that radio so we can listen to BBS.
Just that, boy. Got this here radio, but we ain't got no battery.
Well, I told you to buy some batteries yesterday, but you forgot to buy them today.
A man can only do so many things in one day. Go to town and get some for the both of us.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Dadnabbit, you and your BBS radio.
Welcome back to Evident Footprints. Well, let's see. Now, what were we talking about? Well, we're talking about all kinds of stuff. Let's get into the positive for a moment now. I think And this, you know, this goes for me as well as my listening audience. I don't profess to have all the answers, but I think about these things all day. And I'll tell you, when I'm doing research and some of the stuff that I'm looking at, it would disgust you if you knew some of the stuff that was going on right in your own backyard. Some of you do know, but, you know, what are you doing about it? You get to a point where you lose tolerance for it anymore. You just keep asking the question, how much longer can this go on? How can these people live with themselves doing what they're doing? And I suppose as long as people get away with what they're doing, they're going to just keep doing it. They're never held accountable. And it becomes an issue of responsibility. You've heard this message on this show before with many guests. I've had prophets on this show, scientists on this show, metaphysicians, ministers, musicians, artists, authors, some very controversial people. People that also look at the corruption and are fed up with it. People that are looking what's happening to the health of society. And they've taken steps to change that, to bring information to people. But if you don't do anything with the information on your own, who can you blame? And at least before you make judgments about the information, do some work on your own. If you weren't interested in hearing it, you wouldn't even be listening to this show or whatever shows you listen to. I go online and sometimes I'll get an email, and I may sound like I'm digressing, but this is stream of consciousness, so I'm just going to go where my thoughts go. I got an email from someone inviting me to a conference call, and it sounded like this conference call was something positive that was going to awaken people. And I know that a lot of these people were supporting Ron Paul as a presidential candidate. And so Ron Paul is out of the picture for a variety of reasons, mostly because he was threatened and his family's welfare was threatened and their well-being. So he made a decision that that wasn't worth leading the country. Okay, you can't fault anybody for making that decision. He felt he had to make that decision, and he made it. But there are other people running. But we instantly revert back to the old ways. Instead of looking at seeing what the problems are in the world and determining for ourselves whether or not we're going to play a role in helping change things for the better. And it's not done necessarily through a vote. In fact, if we have a corrupt voting system, don't kid yourself. Doesn't matter. You can vote for the man in the moon. If the man in the moon's supposed to win the election, he'll win it. That's how corrupt the voting mechanism is. Now, there are people out there, oh, I don't believe that. What proof do you have of that? Well, there's plenty of proof. Go on YouTube. Put the word voting corruption in a search engine on YouTube, and you'll see tons of videos coming up where they're showing you the corruption. What more proof do you need than to see it? Well, it's not on TV. Well, we've been through that already. It's not on TV, and you won't see it on TV. So don't expect to see it there, because they're part of the problem too. The media is corrupt. It's propaganda. It's mind-controlling, brainwashing information based upon lies and deceit. Period. And it's gained. It's aimed at making money. It's a financial machine. That's what it is. It's a financial enterprise, and because of its saturation, its ability to reach large numbers of people in a very short time, mass amounts of people, it's become very valuable. So those that can afford to put their products on there make a lot of money, because you are part of the game when you can do that. You are now part of the mind control game. You've got the people that say, oh, no, you know, the Home Shopping Network, there's nothing evil about that. I get lots of good bargains there on the Home Shopping Network or those types of shows. I'm not singling them out. And look what you're buying. You're buying a diamond ring for several hundred dollars that's got gold-plated whatever, lead or aluminum, with a laboratory-grown crystal that they're calling a jewel, and you spend your hard-earned dollars on that instead of maybe feeding your family, paying some bills, or educating yourself, making yourself something a little bit better of a person so you can have a more enriching life, so you can positively affect people. Why don't we look at these things in terms of who we are? Well, we're presented an image of who we are and who we should be, and we don't take responsibility for who we are. We let others tell us who we are and who we should be. And that goes on over and over. Now, tonight on this debate, they were talking about abortion. I didn't listen to the thing. I heard little snippets of it. They're talking about abortion, which they do every time there's an election. But have they changed the abortion laws? No. And I'm not saying whether you should be for abortion or you should be against abortion. That's your choice. I'm not going to be responsible for your choice. You make the choices as to who you are. That's the problem. We got too many people telling us who we should be. You make those choices. I can't make those choices for you. It's not right for me to make those choices for you. Neither is it right for a government to make those choices for you. Any government on the face of the earth. And you live with those consequences according to God's laws. You got 23 million laws in this country, and obviously many of them have been broken by the banks and the mortgage industry. You know that if their laws were so great, everything would be going smooth, wouldn't they? So there have been some laws broken. Why aren't people's heads rolling for those laws having been broken? Instead, they get rewarded billions of dollars, and then they go on spending sprees and retreats in California, spending $500,000 in 1 week, entertaining themselves after being bailed out of billions of dollars, $85 billion deficit. They turn around and they go out and blow $500,000. You're not outraged by that? Well, what can I do about it? Well, it's obvious you don't intend to do anything about it because nothing's being done about it. You're not speaking out about it. You're not writing letters. You're not making phone calls. Because it's going on. Last week, I predicted flat out. It was a flat out prediction, and I got it on tape. I can try to dig it up tomorrow and play it on the air. I predicted, watch, the New York Bank of Mellon is going to be the next one to go down. I had no evidence of that, just intuition. Last night, I heard on the radio where they announced that federal government was going to basically sweep them up for $3 billion. Another $3 billion. Just like that. $3 billion. That's 3,000 million. We're not even aware of it. You see, it was something that just, it was a passing fancy. Just happened to catch it on the radio. Didn't hear anything about it anywhere else. The point is, and I'm not patting myself on the back, is that I've been paying attention to this, and I know who these people are. And I've named a bunch of the banks, and so far they've gone down. Wachovia was another one that I mentioned prior to that. And people have their money in the bank, and they're going to lose their money, or I mean, they're saying, oh, we're going to guarantee 100%. Well, you didn't guarantee those. Those accounts, nothing was in place. What they don't tell you is that they're not going to guarantee the corruption, that the corruption gets a free pass, because they're all corrupt. The lawmakers are corrupt, and they're not following the laws that they're creating. So they're not meeting their responsibilities. So by us allowing them to do that, are we meeting our responsibilities? I don't think so. We should be causing them to uphold the responsibility of representing us, which is what we're told their job is. It's what they're being paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for, not to mention the millions of dollars in perks they have. Each one of them's got something like $2 million in free perks added to their salaries. And that's known. We're not even talking about what's not known. When they pass legislation or they get some tip that a new drug is coming out on the market, you think they're not buying up stock on it before it's even announced? You think they're not told that? That's a perk for playing the game. People say, well, the FDA is, you know, watching all this stuff. They won't let this happen. Half the FDA is the pharmaceutical companies. They're paying the salaries of the people to get what they want pushed through. That's how corrupt it is. You've got corruption in the oil industry. Same thing. Anything that has some tangible wealth involved in massive amounts is corrupt and ultimately controlled by the government. My God, they're even putting petroleum in medicines. What genius figured that out? That there's something in petroleum that's good for the human body? If they're putting petroleum products in medicine, it's with the intention of making you sick. They don't make money with us being well. So we have a responsibility to do something about that. Number one, to recognize that and stop being sick. Or stop belly aching about being sick. We do shows on Evident Footprints where I feature people that have products, herbs or other types of products. I don't make guarantees. I let you know if I've tried the product and if the product's working, which you have a right to know if they're out there. Seem to be doing more good than the stuff people are paying every penny they have because a doctor wrote it up. Show me a doctor that's never gotten sick. Or show me one that's never died. Doctors get sick and they die too. But there are people that are living longer, people that are taking care of themselves, people that are espousing stuff like yoga or martial arts or meditation as a viable means of maintaining a healthy body weight and certain amount of muscle mass, low cholesterol, low blood pressure or normal blood pressure, we'll say. Some people never get sick. Some people never get colds. Why is that? They're exposed to the same stuff. You got people addicted to fast foods, which, despite the fact that you've been told that they're not healthy for you, you go on eating them, and you expect someone to pay your medical bills for you. It comes down to responsibility, us taking responsibility for the opportunity that we have been given called life, and to make something worthwhile out of ourselves. Now, you can't operate as a society when you're a bunch of units that are dysfunctional. as individuals, if we don't have it together, there's no way we can come together as a group. It's been created that way for us. But it's a simple solution, and no one is going to do this for you. You have to do it for yourself. You have to go on a regimen of proper eating and exercise and movement. You've got to do things. Get up off your rear end and do something. I'm amazed when I talk to people that don't know the first thing about planting a seed in the ground. They literally become lost, contemplating that someday they might have to grow their own food. What would be wrong with growing food anyway, even if you didn't have to? What would be wrong with that? What would be wrong with learning a skill? Well, I'm not interested in that. But boy, when there's no food around, people sure flock to your doorstep. And when there's no money to buy food, people flock to you for money. Everybody wants something for nothing these days. I'm speaking in generalities, but you get the picture. You get the idea. We pass the buck. We put the responsibility on someone else. Now, if we're talking about corruption, that's one thing, but we still have a responsibility to watch for it. We're taught in school that we have checks and balances so that corruption doesn't exist, but that's the first lie. We get lies from the pharmaceutical companies about the safety of drugs. We get lies from the food companies about what they put in the products. We have lies from the FDA and the EPA and the CDC about what they put in our drinking water. Well, really, tap water, because tap water is not supposed to be drinking water. Not with what's in it. No way. No way. And all the media campaigns in the world don't make that reality go away. I was talking earlier, I mentioned hearing this FBI on the Glenn Beck show, and this guy rattled off some quick sentence that all the years he's been in the FBI, he's never seen anybody do anything that was detrimental to this country. That guy just fell off the turnip truck to make a statement like that. And they put the front, it's like a piece of marble with the FBI mounted on it. They flash that in the middle of the screen. Like, that's supposed to make his word official. They actually had to put a picture of the FBI headquarters there to make this guy's statement sound real. It was so lame. Somebody actually said, you better put up the picture. We got to give it a graphic. Make it worth more. Picture says 1,000 words. And I know firsthand of corruption that the FBI is intentionally not investigating. So I know what I'm speaking about. Firsthand, I know about it. And I have people contact me all the time telling me about cases that they've alerted the FBI to involving corruption. They refuse to investigate. They shut the cases down. A few months ago, I had the opportunity to talk to a state senator. This is a state senator, not a federal senator, in Arizona, Senator Karen Johnson. I talked about corruption going on in the real estate markets, and the money laundering and identity theft and the criminal impoverishment being perpetrated out of out of the courts. They're doing it all over the country, but in specific terms, we were speaking about Cook County, Illinois. And I brought up the Sicado crime family in Maricopa County. Now, that's the county that's got the toughest sheriff in the nation. And yet, this corruption is going on there. They got the most corruption, probably, of any recorder's office in the country. And I'm not cutting any slack on Cook County or the one up in Salt Lake City, because there's a scheme going on where they launder this money from state to state. They steal the money and they put it into the real estate system, and then they work it into pure trusts, which are illegal, which involve the judges. Delaware corporations, tax-free entities in offshore accounts, derivatives and the hedge funds. And first we heard the derivative and hedge fund crisis. We heard about that. Nobody paid attention to it. And they bailed a few companies out. Bear Stearns went under. And they brought trillions of dollars into the country. Trillions. You heard about $280 billion, something like that. But there was no reason, and you have to ask yourself, did the company even go down? Were they in any distress? Well, there was some distress because foreign bank accounts, as I've said many times, have been frozen. And as those bank accounts are frozen, that means they can't touch the money. So they can't play Monopoly on the Internet. And don't think it's just the American administration. Every foreign country is involved in it. And the UN, you better believe, is involved. That place is a viper's nest of corruption. It's an underworld of black market crime is what it is. Masquerading as peacemakers and the people that want to stop starvation and stop disease when they're behind the chemtrail spraying. Remember, I said they lie. They all lie, and there's no reason for them to stop lying. Because the moment that enough people have figured out they're lying, they'll be strung up from the nearest lamp poles, according to George H.W. Bush. That's exactly what he said. If the people found out, if they knew what we have done, they would string us up from the nearest lamp pole. He made that statement. That's probably a true statement, too. Then you got his son making a statement like, I'm paraphrasing it. I can never remember it. It's such an insane statement. Something like, dictatorship would be all right. As long as I'm the dictator. How do you take a person that makes such a statement? What is the relevance of even making such a statement? Unless your intention is to turn the United States into a dictatorship, which his grandfather tried to do several times, not just the one time they reported in 1933. And we've been warned about these things from the days of the founding fathers, even though they belonged to secret societies themselves that had the same intentions. Almost every president we had has been a Mason, been a member of the Masonic Order, secret society that lies to its own members about its true purpose. Withholding one single secret till the end, and that there's only a privileged few that know what that secret is. And if they, what they were doing was so righteous, why would it even have to be secret? Why would they have to have secret societies? But we don't think these things through. We just accept them as, well, that's the way it is. You know, it's a secret society. It's not for me. I can't, I have no right to know what it's about. Then you have no right to complain about anything if you don't know what it's about. When it's being used to oppress people, when it's being used to kill people, or cause people to be sick and die of their illness, when it doesn't have to happen, or we've got these great pharmaceutical companies that have all these wonderful medicines that are supposed to be healing us. Why aren't people getting healed? You got companies like Monsanto creating products that don't germinate and are basically not even digestible. And they're calling it food. Genetically modified food. Normal food is not good enough. They have to change it and make it something else. And people don't catch on. The masses don't catch on. I'll tell you, I refuse to feel sorry for those people. I'm not going to take the blame for them still remaining asleep. And I'm sure most of you who are awake listening to this show feel the same way. You're tired of trying to bring people's attention to what's really going on, and you realize it's a lost cause. Well, ultimately, that's going to be between them and God. But I'll tell you, you have a responsibility to yourself. And when you meet that responsibility, what might happen is you're going to run into others that have done the same thing. Then you're going to be empowered. But if you expect everyone else to do everything for you, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. People are too busy taking care of themselves. Think about that. Now, it doesn't sound like a completely positive message, but I tell you, once you start paying attention to how things in your life are changing, when you begin taking responsibility for things, you're gonna see things that are really going on. You're gonna see them at first glance. You're not gonna have to spend the amount of time that you used to have to spend figuring out things, only to find out that you've been lied to all along. You know, everyone expects you to tell the truth. Why shouldn't you have that same expectation from those that require you to tell the truth? It's always conditional, seems. Those that are in power are outside the rules. They're above the law. They're above integrity. They're above normal principles. Not even talking about God there, just normal everyday principles. The golden rule, do unto others. Their rule is do unto others before they do unto you. That seems to be the pattern. Now, how does one reach an acceptance of responsibility? Well, we've talked about that on past shows. The religious guests I've had on the show say to repent. Just talk to God, tell God how you feel about the things that you've done that you feel you could have done better, whether you want to call those sins or mistakes or neglects, whatever you want to call them, wrongs that you've done to other people. Ask for forgiveness. Ask those people for forgiveness. Then you've taken care of everybody that you've wronged. then you won't feel guilty about being forgiven. You have to be able to forgive people. Do I forgive people for continually being corrupt? I suppose in the end I can, but I find it difficult to tolerate the corruption on a regular basis. Especially when they're lying, telling us that they're not corrupt. That just makes it all the much worse. So you repent. However, whatever that means to you, come to, if it's only with yourself, if you're asking yourself for forgiveness for what you've done in your life, then ask yourself what you're going to do to become responsible now for the rest of your life. What role are you going to play in your life? If you were to look at a movie of your life and watch your existence on the earth when it's over, watch yourself sitting on the couch with a bag of chips and a six-pack of beer every night, how would you look at that? I'm just using that as just a simple example, because there's a lot of people that do that. It may not be beer and chips. It might be a pack of cookies and a half a gallon of milk. Or it might be drugs, or it might be some other addiction. But if you look at your life, if you could see your life played back for you, could you look at it and say that you did the best that you could, that you helped as many people as you could, that you loved as many people as you could, that you went out of your way and gave of yourself to as many people as you could in a positive way, helping them solve a problem, helping them do something that really one person can't do alone? And then take responsibility for your actions and what you do further in life. Taking responsibility for the earth, which has sustained you through your life. So few of us give back to the earth or give back to nature, and there's a lot of ways you can do that. You can do that physically by taking care of the every place that you come into contact as you move around the planet. I see people throwing garbage out of cars. It's nothing just to throw garbage out. I think things would change if it was a McDonald's bag filled with McDonald's food. Cartons and cups and all the paraphernalia that they use for marketing their food. If McDonald's had to pay the fine, they'd start taking action. The way they work it out is they charge everybody and every product you buy to pay for the cost of picking stuff up, this stuff up off the ground. They just don't tell us. That's if it gets picked up off the ground. We're polluting the earth in so many ways. We're polluting the water, we're polluting the air, we're polluting the land. And we're quick to blame others. I mean, there are many, many on a local level that are doing the same things that we blame the big corporations for doing. We should know better. They don't. We should be an example in that respect. That's what taking responsibility is setting an example, being a model, a positive model. You know, there are ways to stop certain things that happen on a regular basis by not buying into them. People get suckered into ways of packaging things. Oh, this is really neat how they made this box or this bag. I have to have one. and it ends up on the ground, polluting the earth. And polluting nature, polluting the life that the earth supports. And then we wonder why we can't grow food that's nourishing and it's not contaminated. When everything we do contaminates everything else. And no wonder we feel down one day and up the next, because that contamination comes in waves. And we're receptors, and we pick up those waves, and we're affected by those. And they affect our actions, they affect our thoughts, and our thoughts are affecting everything. And although you don't see it immediately, it affects it. And I probably sound like I'm ticked off tonight. And believe it or not, I'm not, actually. I'm not frustrated. I'm not ticked off. I may be speaking with a certain kind of conviction that could be interpreted as being angry. And I have the right to be angry. But I assure you that I'm not. I'm speaking maybe with a sense of urgency. I'm told I've got a caller on line three. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Hi, John. This is Paul from Arizona.
Hello, Paul. How are you tonight?
Good, good. I was listening to your show, and you know, you had, once again, pearls of wisdom that you were speaking. But, you know, I think that, you know, the stuff that you're talking about, they're like seeds, and you're implanting them. They may not take hold right away, but eventually they will. And I recognize that that could be rather frustrating. But the type of information you're giving out is invaluable. I mean, it's just because you really don't hear this on the big network. And so, you know, I just have to applaud listening to you pretty often.
Well, I thank you for that comment. I was just, I don't know if you got to hear when you called in, I was making a comment about the fact that I may sound like I'm angry. And maybe some part of me is, but I'm not, believe me, when I'm angry, my listening audience knows the difference. But this is the spirit, you know, taking over right now. I can say that. And the spirit is getting to be very intolerant of our complacency, you know, and our apathy with all these things I'm talking about. This is sort of just flowing through me, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
So I appreciate your comment in that respect.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is this country, and I can't speak for the rest of the world, has really been too comfortable. We've had too much plenty. So really, until you can get out of the me thing and get more to the responsibility side, then you really may not have an opportunity to reach the public. I've kind of noticed that if you don't have their trust or in that particular line, then they're less likely to take you as a serious commentary. I mean, I just kind of observed that over the years, and it's not that your words aren't valid. It's just not taking you serious.
Well, I think, yeah, you may be right. I mean, I get more mail from people who are agreeing with what I'm saying, and who I know are going the extra mile and doing something about it. I'm by no means talking to the regular listening audience that does that. You know, there's somebody who accidentally stumbled across this station tonight and picked up the show, and they're wondering, what the hell is this guy talking about? And as they listen, something that I'm saying might strike them a certain way. It might make them angry, which is, that's fine. If it instills anger in a person, are they angry with me, or are they angry with the message, or are they angry with what they're not doing, or are they facing what I'm talking about? You know, so there are a lot of variables here. I'm just, you know, it's like when I have a guest on, the guest has a particular topic that he or she would like to discuss, and we get into a conversation about it, and I try to bring clarity to it if I feel that something might be a little bit obscure or difficult concept to grasp. We break it down and talk about it after dissecting it a little bit, and then it becomes clear. People generally appreciate that. We're not going to have the regular person out there listening to the show tonight, but that doesn't mean that that can't happen. It happens all the time.
Right, that's true.
So you know, you're very right in that, in what you're saying. I agree with you. You're totally correct. But
right.
I'm maybe going to reach that one new person that's listening tonight. Or maybe there's 100 new people listening.
You might be surprised because, you know, I mean, there's a number of people that talk about your show, and I listen to other BBS radio shows just to monitor, just to see what's going on. And I've heard your name before. And so, you know, I'm going, oh, okay, well, you know, it may not get back to you, so therefore, you know, you don't get feedback. It's like...
Well, who are those people?
Right. I'm just trying to... Let me look at the schedule. I'm just trying to... Because you have a schedule on here. I think...
Well, I know Dr. Len Horowitz always mentions my show. You know, he's on before me on Tuesday nights, and I'm grateful for him doing that.
Right. That's one. I think there's a lady, and unfortunately, I didn't get her name. I heard her a couple times, and I'll listen carefully and get back with you. But, you know, the thing is listening to your show, and it's not business as usual. People have to understand that because we're so far out of balance as a society, and if you want to call it as a civilization, that things just aren't working. And obviously, you elaborated on that. So, you know, until people come to that realization that we can't continue to go down the same road, you know, there is no positive end to going down the same road. We have to change, yeah. And it may be rather painful.
You said it much more eloquently than I did, and in many fewer words. but see, well, now that's easy because I covered the foundation before you came on the air with me. See,
exactly.
So, I'm sort of joking, but in a way, I mean, you said it very simply, but I could say that. But it really doesn't mean anything in the long run unless I go and break it down into these little segments that people can grasp. Because there are people that are living totally spiritual lives, and they have forsaken the physical reality as it's presented to us. They don't trust the banking system. They don't find any particular attraction to becoming rich, you know, pursuing money, pursuing physical possessions, you know, cars, boats, houses, jewels, going on vacations, all those things. They find a lot of happiness in reading a book or listening to music or meeting with friends and maybe devoting their life to a religious conviction or, you know, something that gives them meaning. That's not to be faulted. But there are a lot of people that are contributing to the problem or just oblivious to the problem. And those of us who are speaking about these things feel a compulsion to point this out to the others. Maybe we're in error doing that. I don't know.
Well, I don't think so. I think you know, if you go back to the spiritual side, they kind of mention that people are coming here. This is like a school, and you know, you have the will, the free will to either evolve or not evolve. So basically, what you're doing is you're feeding those, let's say, knowledge, and they can either accept that as truth or not. But still, I think you're setting the seeds, and it's a matter of you continually watering the seeds of information and truth. Now, obviously, you know, one person's truth is not somebody else's truth, but still, it's still there. And that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you're not talking in vain. You continue to go out there. You returned, if I may say that, and you continue to return and bring the truth. Now, people may not like that, okay, but, you know, not everybody's going to like the truth, and not everybody's going to agree with it like you've mentioned. But the fact still remains is you continue to speak about it. You know, it's not like you're trying to skew it any way other than what you've researched.
Yeah, what I've researched, or, you know, I have to say this too, in all honesty, there are times when I'm burnt out with research per se. And what I do is I turn to the source. Really, I'm never turning away from the source, if you get my meaning.
Yes.
It's like tonight, I'm speaking, and I, you know, the temperature in my studio has risen 20 degrees since I went on the air tonight. And I have the air conditioning on. So okay. there is a point where air conditioning doesn't even lower the temperature.
Right.
It doesn't do its job. There's something supernatural going on, it's like your call is a way for me to measure that. I guess, you know, I'm appreciative of the comments that you're making, you know, in a very humble way.
Right.
So.
But I mean, you're talking about responsibility, and sometimes, you know, people skew that in a different way. And until you have, let me just put it this way, until you reach somebody's pain level where you get their attention, they may just continue to go on. So what I would suggest is that maybe for the vast majority of people, we haven't hit their pain level where you get their attention. Or another way of putting that is they may not trust you. Otherwise, it's like a physician. It could be like a physician. Some physicians they trust and some they don't. And so it may be the case where we're coming to a closer time where there's going to be a higher pain level, and they're going to go, no, this is not acceptable. And they'll start looking around for, let's say, a higher truth. And that's the reason why I appreciate what you're saying is I think you're coming with a higher truth. Now, some people may say you have a more zealous commitment to it, but maybe that's what they need.
Yeah. When you're speaking of a higher pain level, I think maybe you're speaking of a lower pain threshold. In other words, the threshold is what we can stand. And in some people that's low, and some people that's much higher. What is it that's causing them to, let's say, not pay attention to the pain? Well, it's like the person that walks around with an infection thinking that it's going to go away if they don't pay attention to it, and it just keeps getting worse until they eliminate the cause. And often the cause is something totally different, or the remedy is something totally different than what we've been told is the proper remedy. You know, we have to understand what causes disease and what it represents. You know, it's generally physical disease is the body crying out, something is wrong, get it right. And it could be in the mind, or it could be both the body and the mind not listening to the higher truth that's coming through the Spirit. And the Spirit in its wisdom is saying, okay, mind, work on the body now. Let's get the attention here. Let's bring everybody to the same place. I don't think people are aware enough of who they are, that we've not been told who we are, and we've not been given the opportunity to explore who we are. I'm trying to open that those doors and those windows and those gates in that sense, and telling people, showing people there is something beyond the veil or the curtain. You have to be able or willing to recognize that there is a veil or a curtain there before you can decide whether or not you're going to move it out of your way or step around it or go right through it.
Oh, right.
And,
right, exactly.
You know, so that's the nature of what I'm saying, you know, and I'm talking about a lot of different things because these are all things that we're being bombarded with, it seems to me, nonstop.
Oh, absolutely. I think the other thing, too, is that if one is evolving to, in a higher state, if I can touch that subject, sometimes people who are not, let's say, quote, vibrating at the same level, they don't want to be around those people. So, you know, the other thing, too, is as you, let's say, look at truth, it appears to me that it makes more sense. You have more epiphanies going on, whereas if you're just in a kind of treading water mode, that may not necessarily occur. And that's another reason why I say is you give them an opportunity to look at certain things. Will they always look at things? Maybe not. But at least you're providing them with the information that maybe someday they'll pull up and look at it and go, whoa, okay, that appears to be something I need to take a look at. And so I think what you're saying in hand, because it's so much of a collage of information, eventually it's all going to fit together if they so choose to look at that.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. You know, I had a conversation. I've had this conversation over a period of time with a very dear friend who brought up a very valid point that we go through pain. We have to transcend pain on a certain level in a certain area of our lives before we move beyond. It's almost like we're made to experience pain. Now, I don't think in every case that's a necessity. I think if we can recognize, if I continue down this path, I'm going to experience pain, and I'm going to eventually figure this out and go in a different direction. That's sort of the follow-up of this old axiom that we're destined to repeat the same mistakes over and over unless we try something else as a solution. Trying to execute the same procedure, hoping that the experiment is going to turn out right the next time when we're making the same mistakes or we're doing the same things without really considering where it's leading us. I tend to look at where I want to go before I decide how I'm going to go there. We seem to be trapped in just going wherever we wander, and where we end up is what we're forced with accepting, if you understand what I'm saying.
Right, right. I think that, and hopefully I haven't deviated off, is sometimes what happens is if you don't look at some of the mistakes, and don't call mistakes, but kind of like stepping stones in which you can take to move in a more positive direction. I'm trying to think of an example. The only thing I can say is, the simplest example is making right turns into a car. If you do it enough times, you pretty soon it's either going to be too painful or you know, you're just going to run out of money and not do that. But I think that's a bad example. Sorry.
No, that's fine. You know, there, I was once speaking to a group of people. This was sort of a sales-motivated talk, or, you know, it was about how to envision success in the business world. Let's say you're a salesman, and you're not doing well. You're not selling your product. You have a great product or a great service. For whatever reason, you're getting into the beginning of your presentation, and you can tell that it's not working, that you're not communicating effectively with your client or your potential customer. So how do you look at that? Well, it's a problem. You have a problem. The problem that you have is that you're getting undesirable results. In fact, you could call a problem undesirable results. Okay, now all you have to do is what is going to create desirable results. So you examine what your approach is, and you have to evaluate your thinking processes. What and how you're feeling. How am I feeling when I initiate a conversation with a total stranger? Or how am I feeling after the customer gives me an objection? Am I taking it personally, or are they responding to the information? Do they need more information? Am I being honest with them? Are they perceiving me as being dishonest, even though I'm being honest? You know, what is the issue? What are all the issues here? And it requires honesty and self-examination. Now, when we have a problem that affects all of us, the same methods can be used, but we each individually have to be in the right space to be able to contribute something valuable to solving the problem on a mass scale. If I detest money, it doesn't do me any good in the world to try to teach other people how to make it. On some level, they're going to pick up my hatred for money. And I'm speaking about responsibility sort of in the same sense. If we can't be responsible to ourselves individually, how can we be valuable and responsible to a group of people? You know, to find a common ground, a common interest, a common goal. And here, you know, we're talking about our survival. You know, this is not a meaningless topic. You know, we're talking about light. You know, the potential destruction of our planet, or the destruction of our species, or everything that supports our species. And ultimately, it's going to result in our destruction, in our mutual destruction. And there are so few people willing to look at that and talk about that. As if somehow avoiding it is going to make it go away.
Right. Well, it's totally true. I've already done that route, and it doesn't work. It's still there. But that is true. I mean, you could say all things that this is the end of the millennium and things like that, but the fact still remains that if we don't take responsibility, I mean, individually as well as collectively, then nothing's going to happen. It's like you said earlier in the conversation, the same result is going to occur. And if you expect a different result, it's not going to happen. That's why, you know, when you may say we have to change our paradigm or the way we do things, we're taking responsibility for the outcome. And, you could say, well, this is a big test. Well, it's a big test for the whole planet because of things here and all these let's say, less than desirable things. We don't really need to do this, but if we continue on the same path, they're going to continue on. They're not going to go away. they're just going to get worse. And so, like you said, there's going to be an end point. And if you haven't made it, you know, a positive or responsible choice, then you just have to take responsibility when that end point comes.
Yes, I agree. Now, you made a very interesting comment a while back. In this conversation, I know you've called in once or twice before. The comment you made was something about the listening audience gaining my trust. Okay. Now if you've listened to a few of my shows, you've heard me say that I'm not asking anyone to believe me. And I'm using the word belief in the sense of just accepting whatever I say at face value. That's the paradigm we're in right now. That's the matrix that you just mentioned. And
right.
I'm sure you would agree with me that
absolutely.
So I'm trying to differentiate, or I am differentiating, between belief and knowledge, but the application of knowledge in the sense of being what we know to be true, rather than trying to be the illusions that are presented in front of us. You see, I think of people that have a big impact on society. I'm sure you would agree that people that have reached a certain stature in celebrity, whether it's through music or entertainment, maybe an acting career in the movies or on a TV show, or even a role, look at Vanna White and what's the other guy from the Wheel of Fortune, Pat Sajak. It's a very strange television show, Wheel of Fortune. People spin a wheel, and they're given large amounts of money, and they figure out a little puzzle, and it's a way to keep your attention focused in this really strange paradigm, okay? You're definitely inside the box during this show. And they've made cult heroes out of the host and the letter turner. And actually, she doesn't even turn letters. She takes her finger and touches a screen, and the letter pops up. And she knows where to go because she sees the puzzle. She knows where the letters are. These people have been made millionaires, and they have people swooning over them. And you have to ask yourself, how deprived are we, or depraved, of a species that we scream and holler and do all the crazy mindless things that people do when they're watching such a show? How is it that these people, we see these people on the street and we begin to drool, that somehow we might get to touch their clothing or get them to look at us? It's how this illusion has really created a reality that people really look up to, as if that's, you know, that's the pinnacle of success and achievement. And I'm not dogging Pat Sajak or Vanna White. That's not at all what I'm doing. But just the whole concept of this is created for a purpose. What is the purpose of the show? It anesthetizes the audience. It dumbs us down. It hypnotizes us. It takes our mind off of important things and puts them on totally unimportant things. Any game show on TV is like that. And any soap opera on TV is like that. And any sitcom on TV is like that. Any news show anymore is like that. They're turning the music concerts on PBS into the same thing, where you're not really getting the rich culture of the art form of music. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Don.
The other person would be like an athlete, okay? We have these success stories where these young men and women who are born in poverty, get out of poverty through some athletic achievement, and they go to great heights of achievement in a sport, whether it's basketball or baseball or football, track, hockey, soccer. Now they have playing cards as a sport. Okay, sitting there playing cards is considered an athletic sport, and it's seen on the sport channels. To me, I mean, this is insanity. Yet somewhere along the line, somebody determined that that was an athletic event, and so people are just accepting this as part of, okay, what sport? What's your favorite sport? Well, mine is poker. Now shooting pool or billiards, there's some athleticism, there's skill involved. That's valid. Bowling, to an extent, same thing. It's a pastime. It's an activity a lot of people engage in. It's fun. I bowled. I have fun when I bowl. But these athletes that are now millionaires that rape women, get involved in shootings, get caught up in drugs, whether it's steroids or illegal drugs, cocaine, marijuana, antidepressants, and they exhibit dysfunctionality. Somehow we're expected to accept all of this dysfunctionality, that it's okay, that, well, he's the best basketball player ever seen on the face of the earth, so we should allow him to rape a woman and get off scot-free, you know. I'm not going to mention any names, but that there's an actual case that occurred a couple of years ago. And we forget so quickly. We're not holding these people to the same standards we're expected to hold. So if we don't have enough money, we can't buy our way out of those problems, you see? And what people are missing is that as great as these people are as athletes, they're being used as a diversion to cause us to buy into the same reality. I notice that professional sporting events, that there's a lot of music that comes out of the homosexual or pedophile community.
Uh-huh.
That's a fact.
Oh, yeah.
And the themes of the songs are promoting that, too.
Uh-huh. Well, if you listen to them really close.
Yeah. I'm a musician. I'm a music producer. I notice things like that. That they can parade Michael Jackson in front of society for a whole year, and he gets away with multiple counts of pedophilia, and then what are they doing? They're playing his music. They're enriching him further, as if, okay, you played the role, you took people's minds off of what's happening, here's your reward. Now, go away to a foreign country, take your money with you, and don't come back. But they keep feeding the system. They keep generating that income for everyone associated with that artist. Michael Jackson is just one example.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, we have. I think we have what we call a hero syndrome in our society. You know, we have to have heroes, and sometimes. Like you were saying, I call it the iceberg theory. You only see 1/8 of what they really are, but if you look below, then you find out what's really going on. And I think it's very, to a certain extent, it's very disconcerting to really find out, you know, our current heroes, what they're doing or not doing. And I also think it causes a certain level of disintegration of morality-wise into our society.
Yes. Well, you know, I mean, we're just touching the surface here, Paul, but, you know, I appreciate your comments, and I'm not shutting you down or anything like that. It's,
no,
you know,
fine.
You give me the opportunity to speak from my heart. And that's what I'm doing. And if people are not trusting me, you know, I consider myself the messenger here. I'm just the messenger. And so they need to pay attention to the message. This is not about my ego. I have no ulterior motive. I feel that there is a great change in spirit taking over this planet and really our whole solar system, our galaxy. There's an awakening coming to the Earth, and we're either going to be ready for it or we're going to miss it. And my hope and my aspirations, my dreams are that as I awaken to this, and I'm awakening every day to new truths. I'm by no means where I would like to be, but I also know that there are many who are ahead of me, and there are some exactly where I am, and there are some a bit behind. And I'm inviting all of those people to come together. That's really what we lack in this life, is coming together.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
And so I honor, you know, the things that you have said, and I won't let the compliments get to my head, because they're not coming from my head; they're coming from my heart. So, you know, your words touch me there.
Well, you know, I was sitting there thinking about it, you know, and I listen to your show quite often, and you know, you're actually hanging out there on a limb. I mean, you may be very surprised at the audience that you reach, even though they don't call in. They don't even give you any feedback. And that's really kind of how you can gauge a little bit on, you know, the people you're reaching and the effect. So, you know, in my own little sense here, I practice discernment every day. Am I getting good at it? Hopefully. But I still feel like I'm work in progress. You know, there's always something else that I can take care of, some kind of habit that maybe not very positive that I need to reshape. But, you know, when I'm listening to your program, not only do I gain information, but I also verify certain things. And it's not that it's not true. It just reinforces the truth that you're bringing out.
Are you finding that some things I'm saying or talking about are visible or let's say in your awareness every day as you're discerning?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I listen to other sites and they line right up. I mean, they're not exactly, but I mean. The information that you're coming out with is right on. The banking industry, for one, all the nonsense that's going on with the possible war, the let's say the pilferage of funding for other activities, let's say government officials, and I'll mention names like last time. It's a matter of looking at it and going, okay, and not just being an automaton and not looking and doing my own research. It's just like Michael asked me. I'm like a test case, but I also look at other sites and I know what you're saying and Michael's saying and other people are saying. Health is everything. If you don't have health, then your starting point is going to be crippled in the thinking, the way you operate, the way you go through life. I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's a number of areas and levels of truth that you really can't deny when you're talking about these things. And I think the other night, two or three nights ago. Was it Herzog?
Michael Herzog, yes. Yes.
Yeah, I was listening to him, and you were going back and forth, and it's very enlightening because the level of information on the internet is so vast that I can only listen to a certain number of programs, but yours is one of them. I mean, it's like every night. So I really appreciate it, and I thank you for being on, taking the time, and just being there for us, and all of us, not just me, all of us.
Well, I appreciate your participation in the show. That's what it's about. I do encourage callers. I don't always announce it, but that doesn't mean that I don't appreciate the calls. I do very much. In fact, we talk about that some nights. I'm discouraged there's no calls. And then I get a bunch of email that people didn't want to interrupt the information that was coming out. From a guest or from me, or they were responding to what was occurring on the show. So I'm grateful for that in that respect. I do appreciate as much the feedback from the listening audience. And this call is just like one of those other calls that I appreciate. So
I'm not quite sure if the listening audience understands the level of preparation that you have to do. When I was living in L.A., I think it was Art Bell,
mm-hmm.
I was just amazed at the amount of time, in terms of research and getting the facts correct and just putting time in to get the most a valid information going into the show as possible. So that's why I say I really appreciate you being on there, night after night after night after night. I mean, it's really an astounding dedication.
Well, I've got a lot of information to share, and those messages come through. And you have, if you're going to blame this on some outside force, you have to blame it on God. So... I tell people I walk with the armor of God. There have been people that have expressed a certain amount of concern for my safety because of the amount of truth that's coming out. And I counter that with, what kind of place is this if we have to be fearful of the truth? Are we that backwards? Have we gone that much in the opposite direction? That's certainly not a state of higher consciousness. And so I assure the people that I trust that I'm listening to God's voice, and God inspires me in booking a guest or bringing a topic to the table. And there's some nights we have a show prepared where we don't even touch upon the topic. That same spirit takes over the guest, and tonight's scheduled guest, Michael Anthony, is one of those people. Jim Murray is another person like that. I've had Michael St. Clair on the show, and Vincent Bugliosi. Actually, that man has a stellar career as a prosecutor, and always took the high road in what he did. Lost one case. Out of all the cases he tried, he lost one case. And he told me back in 1988 that he didn't really want to take that case. He was forced to take it. He didn't think that they should have tried that case. There wasn't enough evidence. And he wasn't convinced that the person that they were trying was actually guilty. And so he refused up to a point to take that case, and ultimately, he had to, or would have been his job, and he lost that case. One case. And we talked about 9/11. He was gracious enough for me to bring up what spurred on this whole issue with Iraq in the beginning, and so many people forgot that they were blaming this on Osama bin Laden, if you remember. And that bin Laden had been aided and abetted by Saddam Hussein. Well, that was no more true than the weapons of mass destruction and the reason for invading Afghanistan. Afghanistan has been about the poppy crops and the drug trade and a pipeline running from Uzbekistan. And that's basically been it. And then this insatiable desire to murder people.
Uh-huh.
Under the guise of democracy. I mean, listen to, you know, the pot calling the kettle black.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you're aware that, you know, the big drug trade in Vietnam, and the body bags and things of that nature from the Golden Triangle.
Well, it's going on here, too. You know, it's the same situation. You know, it hasn't changed. Those methods worked then, they'll work now. But Vincent Bugliosi was actually, you know, courteous enough to allow me to get that point across. You want a murder investigation for he was understating the amount. He was saying 100,000 Iraqis, and pretty much all the researchers that have really looked at this carefully, even some in the mainstream media, say it's well over a million. Maybe a million and a half people, not to mention 3.5 to 4 million displaced people that are now refugees in foreign countries. And they don't talk about the fact that the Pentagon went in and raided the central bank of $100 trillion, and then they murdered the people they sent in to take this money so that there was no one left to talk about it. And these stories get out anyway. We're not making these things up. Well, I brought it to his attention. What about the 3,000 people that were murdered here?
Uh-huh.
And who's benefiting? Who's profiting from this war in Iraq? Is it not Halliburton? And who's running Halliburton from the office of the vice presidency? Dick Cheney. Why is he not being held accountable for that? Well, there's too many people being bribed and paid off. Or blackmailed and extorted, including the media. So somewhere along the line, someone has to show the courage. But I brought that point up to him and said, you know, to me, I think there should be a murder investigation. There were at least 3,000 people murdered. That's the figure that the press put out. It could have been a lot more.
Uh-huh.
And the rampant corruption that occurred and the put options, just the facts don't add up, and it warrants an investigation to get to the truth. See, and they attract they attack those that are telling the truth.
Right. Well, I was starting to add up the numbers. You know, you had mentioned that it could reach between $2.5 and $5 trillion, and I started looking at. You know, how much more money that they're going to ask for. And I can't remember the site. I wish I could tell you these sites I look at. And they're actually, I think, you might have mentioned that, Alan. Well, I think you're right on, because I started adding up the numbers. And, I mean, they haven't finished. Don't get me wrong, they haven't finished. But I think $5 trillion is probably very doable in their world. It's just like the market where it dropped, 936 points, and then it came up 936 points, and then the following day it dropped 128, and then today it dropped 730-some points. So somebody... looking at it, somebody made a lot of money for the market going up and down in 3 days, or actually not 3 days, because the big push was on Friday, and then you had this flip-flop during this week, but I think today was your biggest drop. So, you know, what you're saying is really right on. I mean, you just have to add up the numbers and keep continuing to watch them. And so, you know, if people think that the information you're coming out with is not true, I beg to differ. I mean, I really do, because they're really anthemed out or crapping down on the taking of money. I shouldn't say that, but I mean, that's what it appears to me. And there is no explanation of where this money is really going. So, I look at that and I go, we got a few problems here.
Yeah, and we're either going to just sit back and watch it happen or we're going to do something about it.
If
there was nothing wrong with the system, we wouldn't have the problems we have with it, right? That's simple
right,
as
exactly.
It can be put. So if it's not working, then you fix what it is. Well, it was never designed to benefit the average person. It was designed to benefit those that are the players in the game, the ones that are calling the shots.
It's ludicrous how much the CEOs are making. And you know that, and I think even the internet is saying the same thing. So, I would really have to agree. And not that I'm agreeing, but I think the consequences of not taking immediate and appropriate action is going to be very, very detrimental. And, it's going to be more than a surprise to the American public if they're not already really upset. And I think the other thing, too, I was watching about the foreign banks asking for their cut. And I think there was a French reporter, there again, I didn't get his name, he had kind of alluded to say the same thing, but he kind of had to skirt around it. You could tell he knew about it, but he wasn't allowed to say that. So, I don't have any reason, I can only look at these things. I can't call them up and say, what are you really trying to tell us? That's what I'm saying is what you're coming out with in your research and in your sources are really, really close. Now, whether we as a country or as a world do something about it, now that's another matter. But hopefully we do it pretty soon. Because,
yes.
like I said, it's not going to be very nice for anybody.
Well, sometimes not nice is the way to get through it, right? You have to get that pain threshold up to where you so rightly pointed out.
Oh, yeah. I guess the only reason why I talk about the pain threshold is that I had an injury and I was laid up for about a month, and it gives you a lot of time to think about things. Where your life is going and kind of the obvious question, meaning of life and things of that nature. And, at first I didn't feel too lucky. Now I feel very lucky that I had the opportunity to examine that. I'm not totally finished with examining that, but I think that, we as a civilization should very closely examine what we're doing and what we're not doing.
Yes.
And that's just an opinion.
Well, I've had my own near-death experiences, two of them, in fact, spread over a 15-year period, or 15 years apart, and each one was a wake-up call of a different sort. And so I understand what you're saying there. And that you don't have to go that far to awaken. Being laid up for a month is certainly enough. Prevents
that was,
you.
That was the easy one.
Yeah.
Being hit by an 18-wheeler, that was a little scarier.
Well, Paul, I appreciate your call. We're out of time here, and I'm going to have to sign off for the night. But please call in again and continue to listen and tell your friends about the show.
Absolutely.
And I thank you for your kind words tonight. I'm sure the audience appreciated what you had to say as well.
And thank you, Don, and have a great evening.
Okay, you too. Well, folks, there you are. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I know I have Michael Anthony scheduled for another show this month, so he should be coming on, I think, again next week. I have to look at my schedule. I don't have it right up in front of me. But I'm going to say goodnight. Special thanks to Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And for the sound, Seth Hendrick. And the extra minutes also go to Seth. I got an interesting email from someone, a listener in northern British Columbia. And I want to thank you. I'll be responding to that message. Thank you very much. I wish everyone out there a night filled with peace, love, and light. Tune in tomorrow. And in the meantime, have a good night.